Hey everyone, I'm Sarah James, a beauty blogger and self-help aficionado.
And I'm Kristen Howerton, a writer and psychotherapist.
And you are listening to Selfie, a weekly podcast about two women trying to tackle better self-care.
We are both of the opinion that self-care is important, and yet we find it elusive. And while we may have all the info we need, we don't always get there.
From the silly to the serious, we are taking a vulnerable yet humorous look at body, mind, and spirit.
And maybe a touch of the random, all while looking at the distractions and defenses that keep us from caring for ourselves like we should. Hey guys, well, we are talking about regret today. We are talking about everything from whether or not we would still choose our current career paths if we could go back, to what self-care habits we wish we'd learned in our 20s, to what we wish we'd done differently with our kids. So this is not a no regrets episode. We have them and we're sharing them.
We are sharing the regrets with you.
We are.
Today.
Yeah, it's just big downer episode. Thanks for tuning in.
Join us.
Yes.
Join us.
Before we do that, Sarah, what's going on with your life this week?
Okay, so you know how you joke that you're like old Aunt Vi talking about all of your bodily issues?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like I am old Aunt Vi's sister who just talks about the house problems. Like, I have to tell you this story, what just happened two nights ago here in this lovely house of ours. So you guys are getting like El Nino onslaught of rain out there.
We are
getting just like a prolonged winter. Usually when March hits in Oklahoma, things step it up a little bit. It gets a little warmer during the day. That has not been the case. I think we're about to get there. But we had like the coldest night of the year was two nights ago. It was 8 degrees. It never got up past like 20 that day before, and the sun was never out. So it was really, you know, when the sun isn't out, it's just, I mean, it's so cold. And, you know, we live in this 100-year-old house that doesn't have storm windows, the original glass. It's just basically like being outside, guys. It's just like being outside. So we go
You're
to
camping.
Yeah, we're camping. We're glamping. So we go to sleep two nights ago, and I wake up at 1 a.m. because my face feels like it's frozen. Like, I mean, I just, it like actually woke me up. I'm like, what is going on? What? And I sat up and I go, it's really cold in here. And so I went up to use the restroom, sat down on the toilet. It was like sitting on a block of ice. And I'm like, what is going on? Go downstairs, look at our thermostat. It's 56 degrees in the house.
Oh, good Lord.
56 degrees. And I'm like,
that's
okay,
so cold, Sarah.
The heater has broken at in the middle, like this never happens during the day. Why does this always happens in the middle of the night? So I go upstairs.
In the winter, not in the summer, in the winter.
And the coldest night of the year. So I wake Dustin up. I'm like, something is wrong with the heater. This is the heater. I think I recall talking to you guys about our heating problems that we just, you know, had all this stuff done. Anyway, he goes downstairs. The heater, it's just kaput. Like it's not even blowing. Like the heater is dead. There is no power, or I don't know. So like we're trying to fix it or turning it on and off, whatever, down at the big furnace. And all of a sudden it's like this overwhelming smell of gas. And then I like immediately go into like full bore panic, like the house is going to blow. So I call the gas company at 1:30 a.m. I'm like, I don't know if there's a gas leak. Oh, they're like, okay, we'll send somebody out there. I'll let you know. We have to page somebody, so it might be a while. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm already freezing my ass off. So the guy shows up at 3 and determines that, yeah, like the igniter on our heater, the furnace, is kaput, gone. And so like, you know, the gas was still pushing to the heater and So it's fine. Like, you know, once we turned everything off, we didn't have to worry about like a gas explosion. But of course, you know, did I go back to sleep? No, I laid there from like 4 a.m. when he left to when the sun came up, just thinking, is the house going to blow any minute, or are we slowly dying of carbon monoxide poisoning?
Oh, right. That's where I would go.
Yeah. I was like, so I can't go to sleep, because if I go to sleep, I'm going to die. So I'll just lay here. So I basically did not sleep. By the time I got up that morning, it was 48 degrees in our house. I didn't even know houses could get to 48 degrees.
I can't even imagine.
48 degrees in a house, it really feels like 10 degrees outside. Because I've been outside.
I mean, did it wake your kids up? Just the cold?
So they did not wake up because I tiptoed into their room and put every blanket in our house on top of them. So I didn't wake up Malou at all. But when I went into Derby's room, I had on, at that point, I had like two wool hats on, my puffer with the parka hood on top of my hats. And like I crept in there and he was sleeping and he opened his eyes. He's like, holy crap! Just scared the living crap out of him because I looked like the Night Reaper. I mean, I had so many layers on. And he was like, Mom, something's wrong with this house. It's really cold. I said, yeah. So he'll back asleep. Anyway, the next morning, I basically started my car, let it run for 20 minutes, heating up, dressed my kids underneath their blankets, and escorted them straight from their bed to the car with their breakfast in the car, which was a granola bar. I mean, not like I made them breakfast. And then we drove around for 30 minutes. So when the heating people got there at 8:30 in the morning, it was 44 degrees in our house.
That's so insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, it was just an igniter. Our igniter split. They had put a new one in. But, you know, this house, it took like 18 hours to get it back up to 70 degrees because there's just – it's so drafty. It's so old. Can't wait to see that, Bill. It's going to be awesome. So everything's warm now, but I mean, really, on the coldest night of the year, really? Like, does that really have to happen at 1:30 in the morning?
I can't believe that. I don't even know what I would have done.
It was so cold.
It's so weird when you really think that, like, without our modern technology, we are, like, kind of defenseless against our environment, you know?
It's so true. It's so true.
It's kind of crazy.
And it just makes you think, I'm like, God, I mean, how freaking grateful I am and privileged that I have a heater and, you know, it feels so warm all
the
time. Or
just that you have the ability to pay your bill.
Exactly.
And then pay for someone to come out the next day because.
Exactly.
I mean, I've known people who have had their heat shut off and they don't have heat.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It gets brutal.
It was horrible. And that day, actually, they had canceled all the public schools just because of the cold.
It was so cold.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. So you couldn't even send your kids off to school to get warm.
Well, luckily my kids, their school was not closed. But most of the city school were closed, you know, because a lot of those kids, they walk to school. Yeah. And people were all bitching, like, I can't believe it's closed. And I'm like, would you walk to work today? Would you like walk to work in this weather? No.
Well,
anyway.
It's funny because I have two kids who walk to school every day.
Yeah.
And it's raining today. And so I was just like, I have to make three trips. So spoiled. I have to drive them and then I have to pick them up.
Oh,
my
gosh.
It's ridiculous.
I cannot believe how much rain Southern California is getting. It's crazy. You guys, it's been like raining every other day for months.
It has been. And it's like, I promised myself I'm not going to talk on the weather on our updates, but the weather is affecting my life so dramatically because I have this deviated septum issue.
Oh, yeah, the whole...
My nose doesn't drain. Every time there's a pressure change in the weather, my head starts to explode. So I think I'm going to do the surgery. I can feel that one side of my face is impacted. So anyway, but moving on from talking about the weather and my health, I am also, and I have not really announced this publicly, so I'm kind of outing it here, but I'm working on a book, which you know.
Yes, which I'm very excited about.
Well, it's really funny because I have been quiet longer than I should have. Like, you know, there's kind of a range of when you announce that you're writing a book.
Yes.
And I've passed that time. And I think it's like some weird Enneagram 3 thing where I do not like to announce things until they are sealed and done.
Right? Yes. Yes.
So I didn't say a word as I was in book proposals and as my book was going to auction. Didn't say a word. I didn't say a word when I signed the contract. Didn't say a word.
Right.
And now I keep moving the you know, announcement date back. And now I'm like, well, I'm not going to say anything till the book's done. Which is like,
this has been going on for a long time.
Oh, I know. Like, I mean, and then people are always like, you should write a book. And I'm like, well, okay. But what actually happened is my friend Jen Hatmaker accidentally outed me on Twitter.
Oh.
And of course she has no idea that I'm being a weirdo and not announcing it. So our books are coming out at the same time.
They are.
And so she said, like, we're book twins. And she was making all these jokes about how our books are going to, like, you know, be born at the same time and get their lives rededicated at the same time and, you know, whatever. Very funny. But I was like, okay, I guess that's out in the world. So I guess I'll talk about it now.
Well, I think, yeah, it's about time. I mean,
yeah,
I was going to out you if I had to because it's so exciting and I cannot wait to read this book.
Well, it's so exciting pumped. For other people. For me, it has just been an exercise in misery.
Well, yeah. Oh, I know. I know.
It's like every time we do this update, the subtext is, I'm working on a book and my self-care is in the toilet. Like, I don't know how anybody writes a book without gaining 30 pounds and like just becoming a total sloth.
The focus you have to have to like get all the way to the end goal of a book is just exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's so much. It has not been great for my mental health. I will say that. I mean, it's so daunting.
Yes.
And what I have found is I am amazed by my ability to simultaneously stress out about finishing it and not do it, not work on it.
No.
Like, yes. It is insane the things I will put in front of this book. Insane on a daily basis. Oh, I'm going to reorganize my medicine cabinet.
Well, sure.
Oh, I think today I should build a coffee table. Oh, you know, I mean, like every day, I'm so stressed about it being finished and I don't finish it. I'm like a toddler writing a book. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bad. So,
yeah.
But it's almost done. It's almost done.
It is almost done, right? Like, I mean, you were like really close.
I have like 3 chapters left.
Well, oh my gosh, it's so exciting.
Okay, let's dial that back. I have 3 chapters left of what most people refer to as a shitty first draft, right? So then I turn that into my editor and then we go to town editing, which is going to be a lot because I'm way over my word count. I've written way too much. It totally needs to be dialed back. You know, I just am rambling, whatever. So I'm almost done with the first draft, which I feel like the editing part feels doable. It's just
this is the hardest part, this part
right?
that you're doing right now.
I hope so.
Oh, but it's going to
we'll
be great.
See. Time will tell.
No, I think it's going to be great because, you know, your editor is going to like help you out with that. And then it's going to be like that Enneagram 3 steps in, like, let's get this done. Like, let's get, you know, and it's kind of like all of the like creativity, like that's already there. All of that's already out there on the paper. Now it's just kind of like refining, you know. I'm super excited. I'm so excited for you.
I'm excited too. I'm excited.
You better come to Oklahoma City for your book tour.
I know. Well, I'm mostly excited for it to be over.
Yeah. I'm as happy that it's done.
I've crossed over. I don't even care about the outcome. I just want it to be over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're almost there, girl. You're almost there.
Almost there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So let's hit up some of our 2 thumbs up.
What do you got? What do you got?
Okay. I have a podcast. Have you listened to the Dropout podcast?
No.
About the whole Theranos thing, Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay, like, you know what? I keep seeing the name Theranos on Twitter, and I don't know what anyone's talking about, so please enlighten me.
I didn't either. I'm like, what is Theranos? Am I supposed to know what Theranos is? So basically, I mean, Elizabeth Holmes is a Silicon Valley girl that started this company called Theranos when she was like 19 years old. She was like slated to be the female Steve Jobs. She was like a billionaire within a very short time. She created this kind of product that like basically with a drop of blood can tell you all these different things about your health and stuff. But like she became like, I don't know if this girl is crazy. I don't know. I'm only halfway through it right now. But basically it blew up in her face. And now she's like in the court of law. She's lost everything because the product wasn't working. But she just kept on pushing and so many lies.
Yes,
and like,
yes, yes. Okay.
Yes. And it's just, fascinating. It is really, really fascinating. And you know me with the podcast.
I actually think that there's a documentary on this now too. Like this is the new Fire Festival where everyone's like this, you know.
Yes, that is probably it. It's really good. You know me with podcasts. There's just very few that I can like listen to. I'm just weird. I've got the podcast issue. But I really like it. This girl is like,
I want to listen to that.
Wow, super interesting. So that's my first one. And then my second one is, I think I talked about it on our, when we were talking about all of our favorite products, but like, I am obsessed with this Acure Everyday Eczema Lotion. It's new.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know why it's so hard to find. I think it's because it was really new and now they're finally putting it into like mass production or whatever. I don't know.
And they changed their packaging.
They changed their packaging.
Yeah, they almost relaunched.
It's simple. It kind of like, I think there's some like oatmeal component. So it has that really nice, mild kind of oatmealish scent. It's the perfect consistency. You know me, like, I mean, half the lotions I put on my body, I immediately get bumps everywhere. I don't even have eczema, by the way. But I mean, I just figured, well, my skin is so reactive and I love it. And you guys should try it. And I just went to the Target here in Oklahoma City on May Avenue and 50th. I bought all of them. So don't go there because they had three and I bought all three of them because I'm obsessed now. Now I'm hoarding. I'm hoarding this lotion. I love it.
Acure is, I mean, for listeners that have not heard us rave about Acure, it's such a great brand because it is very clean and very green, but it's affordable. Like
totally
it's one
affordable.
Of the few that's not like gouging you for being green.
It's 12 ounces for $11. I mean, I'll take it for sure.
Totally.
You know, it's organic. Yeah. So I really like it. You guys should check that out if you're looking for it's not a face lotion. It's an overall body lotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You use it everywhere, like on your legs and everything? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. And I never get the red bumps whenever I use it. I ran out of it like
a
week and a half
ago.
And started using one of the many ones I've had sent to me. Red bumps. That's why I went this morning and bought all of them.
Yeah. No, I the other day put this lotion on my chest. And then went and sat down to work. And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, my chest is burning.
Yes.
I think this is burning. And I go look in the mirror and it's like angry red.
Gosh. Yes. That's
from
exactly
like
my chest.
Just a regular lotion.
I know. What is up with our chests? It's just weird.
I don't know.
Over it.
I don't know if you guys are not in the selfie podcast community. First of all, you should be. But we did get some sad news there when I found out that my beloved Hemp's lotion is not so good.
Can we just say it's not horrible?
It's not horrible, but it's I'm switching lanes.
Are you really?
Yeah. Well, there's a lotion that I also like from Shea Moisture, and so I'm just going to do that instead.
I think you should. Yeah.
Okay. So my one of my thumbs up is a shampoo bar.
Ooh.
It's from Ethique, and I have to say I discovered this brand on Amazon because I went looking for shampoo bar for travel because I started thinking, you know, if you have bars, first of all, they last forever, right?
Right.
And second of all, they don't count as a liquid when you're going through security.
Right.
And so I decided to try their shampoo bar. They have a lotion bar. They basically have a bar for every body thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to switch out my travel products just to be all bars, you know? But their shampoo bar is really good.
Really?
Yes. It gets a really nice lather. I feel like it's going to last forever. It smells good. I mean, it's great.
So you just put the bar in your hands and like, you know, suds it up like you would just any old soap. And then you just put it on your hair.
Exactly.
Well, that's interesting.
I know. And they have conditioner bars too. I haven't tried those yet, but I did order from them. They have a little sample travel pack where they have a small bar of every product. And I did order that. I haven't gotten that one yet. Because I do. I want to just switch because I just feel like I'm always refilling travel stuff and forgetting things. And I feel like the bar system might keep me better organized. And then I don't have to pull those out at security.
And you feel like it cleans it well.
I do. I mean, you have to, you know, you have to do a little work lathering it up in your hands to get enough product on your hair.
Okay, I'm going to try this. I've got to try it so I can report back.
And, you know, it's great because the bars reduce, you know, plastic. I mean,
sure.
You're not buying shampoo bottles.
Way better.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my other two thumbs up, which I'm sure everyone in the world has already discovered but me, but I just got on the Postmates train.
Oh, is it not the best?
Well, you know, what's so funny is I was just using Uber Eats. I don't know why. Like, to me, that was like, you just use Uber Eats. And then Postmates, like, opened up a whole new world. They have so much more.
Right.
They have free delivery all the time on something, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll usually go in and just be like, oh, who has free delivery? So the other day, I got delivered to me for free. Do you remember Press Juicery, which is like...
Oh, I love Press Juicery.
Yeah, right?
My favorite.
I don't know if it's everywhere, but it's basically like a froyo, but it's made of only like smoothie kind of ingredients.
Right.
So it's like a froyo, but it's all like, you know, kind of fruit-based, plant-based. So they had free delivery, so I paid $6 for my froyo that showed up at my door.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm not going to lie. This winter, it's been really cold, and we have been using a lot of Postmates.
At least
once or twice a week for dinner, because I am just like over it.
I know. What do you usually order from them? Like, what's your go-to?
We have like a great Indian restaurant that I love. Yeah. I like ordering Thai and Indian because like you can reheat it when it gets to you.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, a lot of things, if you get by the time they get to you, they're just not as good as if you were at the restaurant. So anything like that, we love. Anything that's like a rice dish with some sort of like vegetable or Chinese, Asian, all of that stuff. Love it.
Totally.
Love it.
And then Sarah, I have a thumbs down.
Oh, you do?
And it is related to your thumbs up from the previous week. I did, at your recommendation, watch Pen 15 on Netflix.
You don't like it?
Okay. Well, I don't want to say that I don't like it. What I want to say is that I feel traumatized and triggered.
Well, yeah. It's like
triggered.
It's like the most triggering show ever.
Seriously, I watched two episodes and I was like, I'm out. Like, I'm out. I can't. Like, it's so uncomfortable. It's so real. So this is the show. It's the show about middle school, and it's two adults pretending that they're back in middle school. It's a scripted show. I mean, it delves into every awkward, insecure moment of middle school in such great detail.
In like disgusting, grotesque detail.
Totally. Like, I'm watching it just like, and even I'm simultaneously remembering my own middle school experience. And also I have a middle schooler.
Right.
You know, and so I'm just watching it like, oh, life is so bad. Like, how do any of us survive this?
Oh, my gosh. I simultaneously would like cry and laugh at every episode because it's so real. It's so real.
But well, what did me in was the masturbation episode. I was like, I'm out. You know I can't. I can't.
I'm not lying. I thought to myself, Kristen's not going to like this one. It's going to be too much because it's just, it's too much. Like, literally, I don't think any seventh grader really masturbates that much. Like, I mean, everything they do is like what happened to you times 5,000. So basically, it's an entire episode of this girl like finding every which way to masturbate.
Yes.
And I will say it got a little old.
And straight camera on masturbating.
Oh, yeah. Like her face. Oh, yeah. Like when she's like grimacing and stuff. Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
I will say that was that borderline uncomfortable for me. But then I was just like, OK, I'll just that's usually the time when I start like checking Instagram on my phone.
Totally. No, I mean, I felt like it was giving me PTSD. It's just like, I can't. It's too real.
Oh, I love it. I'm sticking with it. Besides that, one episode I love it. It was
really funny, though.
Awkward.
Very funny. Yeah.
Very funny. Very awkward.
All right. Well, we have a quick sponsor to talk about, and then we're going to get into our regrets. But we are chatting about Lola today. They are a female-founded company that offer a line of organic cotton tampons. They also have pads and liners. They started their company with this simple and seemingly obvious idea, which is women should not have to compromise when it comes to things they're putting inside their body.
Yes. And did you know that the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of what they put in their feminine care products?
Yeah, so, which is insane.
Yeah. And obviously, most of them don't. So, which is just weird because like we can see the ingredients in all of our food, but like not what's in our tampons or what goes into our bodies. No thanks.
I know. It's wild. Yeah. And the thing is, most major brands do use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, which might include rayon and polyester, which no thank you. And they can also be treated with synthetic dyes and not even have to list that. So Lola products are 100% organic cotton.
Which is awesome. And let's just talk about the convenience of Lola because it everything so much easier. They have a monthly subscription, which is fully customizable. You can choose your mix of products, your mix of what absorbency you want, your number of boxes, and the frequency of delivery. It is so nice to not have to think about it and end up like at Target last minute trying to buy a box of tampons when you have like one left that you found in your purse. It's just so awesome to have them there ready to go.
It is a game changer because I don't know how, for, you know, however many years I've had my period, could never seem to keep them in stock.
Me neither.
And this has been the solution. So yeah, it's great. You can get everything, pads, liners, whatever combination you want. So they're giving our listeners a great generous offer for 40% off all subscriptions. You can go to mylola.com and use the promo code selfie when you subscribe. Again, that's mylola.com. Promo code SELFIE for 40% off.
Awesome.
All right. So we're going to talk today about regret. And the reason that we decided to have this conversation is we had done an episode a couple weeks ago where we just asked our listeners to give us questions. And one of the themes that really bubbled up and emerged was regret. A lot of people had questions for us about, you know, would you still choose this career or what do you wish you'd done differently? And we felt like, okay, we have so many regret questions that we actually need to do an episode on regret.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, regret is one of those interesting things because I feel like I was raised in a time when the idea of never having regrets, like carpe diem, no regrets, was this big theme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you feel like that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it never sat well with me. Like I always had a tickle about it because it felt a little narcissistic to think you have no regrets. You know?
Well, it's interesting because, so obviously I lean towards anxiety. You know, I've had generalized anxiety since I was young. So I definitely have regrets, but in general, I personally am not much of a past thinker. Like I'm too hyper fixated on all the things that could go wrong in the future.
The potential catastrophes just ahead on the road. Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Tomorrow, 5 days, 5 months, five-year plan. Like, let's think of all the things bad that can happen to me. So I feel like I don't possess that much mental space to think back on the past. And I don't think it comes from a place of narcissism or anything like that. It's just that, like, I'm so hyper-fixated because I just run anxious. Like, that's what I'm future casting. Whereas I know people that are very opposite of that. They're just kind of, like, not even worried so much about the future, but they really fixate on things they've done in the past. I wish I would have done that differently,
maybe it's important to define regret, because I think there's a difference between regretting something and then putting it in its proper place. Like, I wish I hadn't done that, or I would have chosen differently, versus dwelling in your regrets and feeling shame. Because I'm like you too. I'm way more future focused. And I can say, like, there are things I absolutely regret, but I don't give it a lot of mental energy.
Exactly.
So I feel like, you know, maybe a better phrase than no regrets would be, I have regrets, but I'm moving forward.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Moving forward.
There's a great quote on regret from Rising Strong from Brené Brown. And she says, no regrets doesn't mean living with courage. It means living without reflection. To live without regret is to believe you have nothing to learn, no amends to make, and no opportunity to be braver with your life.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Who doesn't love them some Brené Brown?
Well, I know. Every single thing she says is quotable.
Oh, it is. Well, it's actually kind of funny, too, because I popped on the notes before we started recording this, because we have five questions that you all asked us in our selfie community group. All of them kind of revolving around parenting, jobs, things like that. And then when I popped in, I've forgotten that like the number one question was, what are some of your biggest regrets? And I saw this question 5 minutes before we started recording. I hop on with Kristen. I'm like, Kristen, I didn't see this one. I don't know. And now it's like when you're at the doctor and they want you to pee, but you can't pee. I'm like, I don't know.
So totally.
We're just going to kind of.
But I mean, that's the thing, because you're not living and dwelling in your regrets. So they're not on the tip of your tongue.
They aren't. They aren't. Yeah. So what are some of yours?
Well, I mean, like I can say one obvious big regret of mine is that, you know, I regret that I got a divorce, but I initiated the divorce, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. I mean, more so, I guess, that I regret having gotten married so young and having, you know, chosen poorly. But like you said, I mean, I don't really live in a space of, I don't know. I don't live in a space of regret. Like I wish I had done differently, but I have compassion for that 23-year-old or 20-year-old that wanted to get married.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And so I regret it, but I don't, but it's like, but that's how I had my kids. And I mean, that was my life.
Right.
You know?
It got
that's
you to where you are now.
Yes.
Right.
But I do. I regret that I got married so young. And I'm very open with my kids about that. I'm like, you know, I think you should probably, you know, you need to have lived on your own. Mm-hmm. And whoever you're going to marry needs to have lived on their own. Don't move out of a dorm into a home, you know.
Right.
And, you know, really give it a lot of time and maybe be out of college and have a job and see that your significant other is successful in a job, you know, all that
right.
stuff. I was a musical theater major in college, mm-hmm. and I was so desperate to shift into family life, which, uh-huh. I mean, I will explore all of this in my book, speaking of, in great detail. But I, you know, as a 20-something, I didn't have a great family of origin, and I just wanted to create a family. Mm-hmm. And move into that. And so I didn't give myself the opportunity to really explore trying to do musical theater because I felt like, well, I want to get married and I don't want to be out at nights and that wouldn't be good for my marriage. And so I really regret in my 20s when I had, you know, I had no children, I really had no responsibilities, that I didn't just like do a tour or, you know, like I had those
yeah.
opportunities.
Yes.
That I didn't just, you know, do a Broadway tour or move to New York for a year or something. I do regret that I didn't that I didn't do more there. But again, do I think about that much? No. Not really at all. I regret going to college where I did. I wish I would have gone to a better college, but mm-hmm. I went to a safe college. I mm-hmm. went to a Bible college, and I wish I would have gone to like a more academic university. Mm-hmm. And then I regret using my kids' names online. I wish I would have used a pseudonym.
Yeah. But that would even be so hard. I think about it because, you know, I use a pseudonym for years.
Right.
Years and
you
years.
Did.
But now I don't, you know?
Yeah. But like your blog archives are not like searchable by their friend. I mean,
you
if my
are
kid
so
has
right.
A, yeah. I mean, if somebody decides I'm going to Google India Howerton, every baby
yeah.
photo is right there.
Yes. It's, I did not think about that.
Yeah.
You're going to make me go search my blog to make sure I don't have anything, any mention.
I know,
I'm
right?
I'm going to go like Google search it right after I get off this.
Well, too late for me. What about you? What are some of your like bigger regrets?
Well, one popped into my head right when you were talking. You know, I grew up in a family that was very like business oriented, like business minded. Mm-hmm. Although like my dad, I think I come from a creative family. They didn't pursue creativity as a means of income or a career. Although, you know, my dad plays the guitar and he ended up down the line buying a recording studio. But that wasn't ever his main, you know, his main gig, his main career.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that I just grew up my whole life trying so hard to be like a business person, like in
yes.
a way, and what I mean by like, you know, I'm going to go into sales, I'm going to sell pharmaceuticals,
yes.
You're going to
do something practical.
Practical. I'm going to do something
yes.
that's practical.
Absolutely.
I'm going to make good money. I never even I never spoke of myself in a creative way. Like I'm a creative person.
Mm-hmm,
I stifled
mm-hmm.
all of that. I
yep.
now realize I think I'm a really creative person.
Totally.
You know, and luckily how my career has changed, you know, that's come out being able to write and do a lot of things that like foster that fire. But yeah, yes. Growing up, I just was like, oh, who wants to be an artist? Who wants to be a writer? Like, no, I'm going to do this and, you know,
totally.
Have this practical job. So I kind of regret that I didn't focus on that more when I got out of college or during college. But, you know, like you said, I mean, here I am now and I'm happy what I'm doing now. So it all kind of worked out for the best. But it's definitely something I regret. I have moved a lot. I have lived in a lot of places. I still want to live in more places. And there's a part of me, I do not regret moving back to Oklahoma City because it was like the best thing for our family and for my kids. And I think we all four are much happier in Oklahoma City than we were in Southern California. But like, you know, I lived Dallas, Kansas City, Chicago, Newport Beach out in Southern California. But I'm like, am I really never going to live in Europe? Like, that's something that I...
Right. I just feel that too. Yeah.
I just kind of want to... I don't... Like, is this it? Is this where I am?
Yeah.
Like, Oklahoma, is right. this it? So, I mean, who right. knows? You know, I can't like
yeah.
dwell on it, but I do... Uh-huh. I'm like future casting regret for not moving again.
Totally. Yep. Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's just been, I mean, just... relationship regrets and like past relationships, whether friendships or romantic relationships, where I just feel like I made a bad decision or said something I shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. There's definitely those that like, you know, kind of like whack you in the face once in a while. You're like, those are the ones that
well,
come
I
to
think
my mind.
Everybody has those.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have relationship regrets, like we've all made mistakes in relationships.
Right. Right.
But it's interesting because now that you're naming yours, like, I mean, I wish I'd lived more places.
Yes.
I always thought that I'd be like, at some point, like I'd have my kids living abroad or something, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And then I really resonate with that whole, you know, going into a practical job. I mean, my parents, when I majored in musical theater, they were like, well, that's adorable.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you're going to have to get a master's in something real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, even with me, I mean, even psychology was almost like too liberal for me. Like, why aren't you getting your MBA? Or, you know?
Yes. Well, my parents supported psych, but it was, you know, as long as I got the license and the, you know, like, and you'll be able to teach and if you need to and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. Very practical.
Very practical.
And it's interesting because now I feel like with my kids, I'm like, you can do anything you want.
For you know? Sure. And like you even said, living abroad, like I will push that. I'm not going to make them.
But
I would really encourage them. Like they know I want them. Like they are not going to an in-state college. Like that's not even. I mean, I didn't go to an in-state college. And I didn't even go that far. I mean, I you know grew up in Oklahoma City. I went to the University of Kansas. It was you know it's a 5-hour drive, but still, it was important for me to like just be somewhere else, even if it was still like in the middle of America.
Totally.
But
you know what's so terrible though, Sarah, is that we are starting to have college conversations and I keep telling them that they can't leave an hour circumference from the house. You know why though? My biggest fear is they'll meet someone, get married, and settle down somewhere else.
Well.
And then I wouldn't like they wouldn't live in my community and I would be so sad.
I know. But as a person who left college and did not come back
yes!
to her parents for 20
Same.
Years.
I never went back. Yeah.
It's good for
them. I don't
them.
Want my kids to do that.
I know.
I want them to.
It's frightening, actually.
I know. Like, I want my kids to get married and then come live on my same street.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so let's get to some of these questions. We have 5 questions
yes.
to ask. The first one was, I'd love to know about your lives after high school, college. What kind of jobs did you have and how did you end up where you are now? Which we've kind of discussed a little bit, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, as I said, I went to school for musical theater, immediately went into graduate school. I substitute taught while I was in grad school and I had a bunch of crazy jobs. I mean, you know, I waited tables and did all those things. But I went into private practice at age 23.
Wow.
So I mean, that's combination of, you know, kind of scarcity model parents and really like that Enneagram 3, like I need to, you know, I need to do the right thing.
Right.
So I was in private practice at 23 and I was in private practice until I had kids and started blogging.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you went into private practice at 23. That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
So, well, I also majored in psychology. And when I graduated, I was already working at a retail for clothing retail. And so my first job, just when they offered me a management position. So that started out in retail, clothing retail stores and tailor, to be exact.
That feels right.
I was wearing my triacetate suits and my heels at 22, feeling really, really professional.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And then I went into hotel sales. I was in hotel sales for a couple of years. And then accepted a job when I was 25 to be a national hotel sales manager. I had like 18 properties all over the United States.
Wow.
And at that point, I actually got rid of my apartment. I was renting an apartment. And for 2 years, I traveled from hotel to hotel. So every week I was in
that
a different city.
That sounds dreamy.
It was dreamy. I was single at the time. I didn't have a family. I just got to see all of these cities. And I still, it's like one of those jobs I still can't believe I had at that age. Like looking back, I'm like, someone really gave me that job, 25 years old, going, walking into a hotel and telling sales teams what they need to do to get more, you know, income.
Isn't that funny?
Revenue. So I did that. Then I was in pharmaceutical sales for a decade. And I did that in Oklahoma, in Chicago. I moved from Oklahoma City to Chicago and then out to Southern California. So when we moved out to Southern California at that time, I had been dating Dustin. We were living together. We were not married.
When you moved to California.
We moved to Chicago. So basically,
Chicago.
I started dating him. And then we decided, what a great idea to like go from a long distance relationship. He was in Dallas. I was in Oklahoma City. Why don't we just move to Chicago and move in together?
Wow.
Yeah, like big.
I did not realize that.
And it's really funny because my parents would have never really, I think, approved of that. But they were so nervous about me living in such a big city that I think it gave them, they felt safe knowing that I would be living with somebody else. So we moved to Chicago. Yeah. I transferred. I was still doing pharmaceutical sales up there. We only made it one winter in Chicago. We lived there for a year and a half. I remember sitting at the table one night just looking at him. I'm like, you know, California seems really warm. And he's like, yeah.
Totally.
So we just up and moved from Chicago to Laguna Beach, transferred again, and did pharmaceutical sales for a very long time until I had Derby. After I had him.
Right.
And that's right when my blog started. So that kind of just...
Right.
I stopped doing pharmaceutical sales. And then, you know, like that was just the next couple of years were a huge time for blogging where it was like, oh, wow, I can have a career. Like I can make decent money.
Yeah.
So that, that's totally how that all happened.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Well, this ties into the next question. If you could do it all over again, would you still do what you're doing for work right now?
Yeah, I think doing what I do, I make my own days. I'm doing stuff I love. I mean, I just get to talk about like beauty and skincare. And on that end, it's to me, it's way better than doing outside sales, like schlepping around.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to sell. I mean, I'm still selling in a sense. I mean, let's face it, I'm selling things. It's just done in a very different modality. But I don't know. I mean, I like where I am now. It fits well with where I am, like with my kids, like where I am in life.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, same. It's like blogging really did bring me so much. I mean, it's given my family travel opportunities. It's brought me so many amazing friends. It's given me the ability to work from home. I get to pick my kids up from school whenever I need to, you know.
Yeah.
I can take a vacation when I want to. I mean, the only downside I would say is that, you know, when you work for yourself, you make your own schedule. And it's flexible, but you're kind of never not working.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and finding that balance has been difficult for me. And then, you know, it's as my kids have moved into the teen years, blogging has felt a little exposing, you know. And so I'm feeling good that I'm shifting to book writing. That feels like a good shift for me right now, too.
Yes.
But I I never in a million years when I was in my 20s thinking about what I wanted to do for a living thought I'll be a blogger because I didn't even know what that was.
Me neither. Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
So it's kind of...
I mean, I think in my 20s I could have imagined myself as a writer.
Right.
But again, that just felt unpractical.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. So it's like one of those things where I feel super grateful like that it happened this way, that it just it was timing really, because, you know, I don't think you could start a blog today in hopes. I mean, there's just so many, right? Like we kind of got in at this perfect time. It was like the perfect storm.
We did.
Like with our families, yes, and having young kids and, yep, writing about pregnancy, writing about it really was just like kind of like that perfect divine timing, I think.
I completely agree. I mean, I have, you know, I'll have young moms reach out to me and ask about getting into blogging. And I'm like, you know what? I just think the window closed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say. If they're like, yeah, what's your number one tip? I'm like, start blogging 10 years ago. That's my number one tip.
Right. Like, it's just, it was a weird thing that I feel super grateful to have hit at the right time. But I think it's not there anymore. And I think that now blogging is now more of like being like an Instagram influencer,
yes,
which you have made an amazing niche for yourself in that. It doesn't feel good for,
yeah,
me to be an influencer on Instagram,
yeah,
because you know, you have a passion,
right,
around green beauty. I don't have that. So then it's like, what am I selling? My life,
right,
my kids, like,
right,
you know?
Yes. And that's the thing, like, sadly, old school blogging is, I mean, there's just these attempts to revive it. And, you know, the blog is the only thing we really own as writers, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I
yep,
hate that so much of my career has to do with a platform that I don't own, that I'm like a slave to.
Right.
Like Instagram, they change their algorithms all the time. It's like, I mean, they could go down tomorrow. I mean, just gone. And then it's just like, what? All this work that, you know, I do and all of us do. It's really kind of weird. But I see exactly what you're saying. It would be, it's just like, yeah, what exactly are you quote unquote selling?
Yeah. Or what am I influencing people in?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you are influencing people to make better choices with their makeup, and which is amazing. But it's like, I don't really have anything to say on Instagram.
Right.
You
right.
know, I mean, I feel like if I had something to say, it was more like writing think pieces on my blog.
Right.
And I think that's shifting to a book. But like, I don't know. I don't feel like I have something I want to influence people on Instagram.
Yeah. And there are lots of times, trust me, that I feel the same way, that I'm just like,
yeah,
I mean, I have weekly regrets that I'm kind of like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I want it to be, you know, I want it to be more.
Totally.
I used to write about bigger, and I still, that's the good thing about being a niche influencer, is that I can still get my feelings about bigger issues across.
And I do.
And I take that.
Mm-hmm.
I have that. It's nice, yeah, that I have that platform. But still,
yes,
like new people that come on, like new followers, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you talking about this?
Totally.
I'm like, because I'm a person. Who cares? That's why. Thank
right.
you.
Right. I don't want to hear your politics.
Yeah,
what lipstick
exactly.
is that?
No one really,
yeah,
wants to hear.
Totally.
But I think it leads into the next question, which is, what is one assumption your online followers have made about you that was totally inaccurate? Did it change anything you did regarding your online presence? For me... It just goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. I think a lot of people assume that I don't work as hard as I do. You know,
yes.
I think a lot of people,
oh my gosh,
think that I'm sitting around my house trying lipstick on and showing everybody,
yeah,
when it, yeah, I work over 40-hour weeks every week, whether I'm working with my affiliates, my advertisers, creating content, taking photos. Like, I mean, it's like what you said earlier, like it never shuts off. It never shuts off. I mean, I have certain times, I have algorithms I have to watch on when, what time I should be posting, you know,
mm-hmm,
all of that data coming into me. I have virtual assistant that's helping me do stuff on other social media. It's just like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that takes me away from my kids and my husband. And there are lots of times, like, at 8 p.m. at night, which is the best time for me to post on Instagram, that we just finished dinner. And I'm like, bye, guys. Mommy has to go interact with all of these people. Yeah. Because if I don't, my photo isn't seen, you know, the whole algorithm thing, which is just like, whatever.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is. It's a lot of work, and it's not like a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, it's not. It is. Yeah, it is interesting. And I think people can make a lot of assumptions. I think I've had the same assumptions made. I think, you know, like people will assume that I don't actually work or have a job. Like, you know, well, she's a stay-at-home mom. But then it's like, well, but I'm writing this blog,
right,
and doing sponsored posts and all that kind of stuff. I also think it's funny. I think that I've heard people comment like, oh, she's traveling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I actually really don't. Like,
right.
I rarely travel.
Yeah.
And don't really like to travel. So that's, I mean, I travel with my kids. I mean, like traveling for work. I don't actually do that much.
Right. Yeah.
And when I do, it's very short and I'm getting right back home.
Well, and it's that thing, you know, a lot of time when you are traveling, people are going to see that you're doing that. And it just goes back to that, like, how much of your life are people really seeing online? It's
yes.
not a lot. But I mean, I can see mm-hmm. how people see that and they put, you know, they add it up and they go, well, this is what this person's doing. They're traveling all the time, which no,
yes.
not the case.
Well, and you know what's funny? It's like when I first started traveling a bit for work, it was so exciting. Like you get to stay in a hotel and you're away from your yeah. kids and it feels like this big luxury. But I mean, a year, 2 years in, it's like, I don't want to see another hotel. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go through another airport security line. Like I'm tired of missing my kids. I just want my regular life
right.
back, you know?
Right. Yeah. I totally agree.
Which is a big misconception, I mm-hmm. think. All right, here's another question. If you could go back in time 5 years, what would you do different in your self-care that you think would make a positive difference in your life now?
Mm, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Well, 5 years. I'm like, 5 years, that's nothing. I was like...
You were in the thick of it.
Yeah. It's weird because I'm tempted to say, oh, all of the things you're going to think. Oh, I should have exercised more. I should have, you know, been silent with my thoughts. I should have meditated more. But I think for me, like, I have just had to let go. Like, let go with yeah. the obsession to know and control everything. Like,
yeah.
And my 30s were chock full of me trying to understand why everything that happened to me happened. Why is that? Well, let me yeah. find the answer. And going down thousands mm-hmm. of rabbit holes when all I really had to do, and it makes it sound so easy because it's like the hardest thing to do, is just
yeah.
let go and say, I will never know the answer to that. And I'm not going to chase mm-hmm. it anymore. I wish I would have
totally.
Known that earlier because it's taken me up till about now.
Oh, my gosh. That wasn't my answer, but that is – I'm making that my answer because I completely agree. Learning to let go of outcomes, I mean, that would have done – that would have – honestly, it would have prevented my early marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had learned to let go of outcomes in my teens and 20s, mm-hmm. my life would look so different.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
But I would say, too, for myself for 5 years ago – just the act of prioritizing self-care
yes.
would have been revolutionary. Just the idea of thinking about it and putting it on my to-do list and not having it be a thing I'll get to if I've finished every single other thing first.
Right.
You know, just moving it to the forefront, I think, would have changed a lot for me.
I totally agree. But I think in general, these are things that come to us at our age. I think most
yeah.
people, it's like you kind of have to work through all the crap to get through it. But yeah, man, if you're
yeah.
listening and you're younger, take heed.
Yeah.
Do it.
Totally. Totally.
Make it happen. Okay. Well, our last question is, knowing what you know now, if you were to go back in time 5 years again, what would you do differently with your kids? And this was from someone who has a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they were looking to gain from our perspective.
Yeah.
What about you?
You know, I don't have much, and that's not because I'm a perfect mom. I'm actually a really imperfect mom, but I'm really okay with that. I'm really okay with my kids knowing I make mistakes and knowing I'm imperfect. So I don't have any big regrets around my kids.
Yeah.
I really don't. I feel like they are lovely and flawed people.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like I have a close relationship with all of them, and they're mostly kind and empathetic.
Yeah, they are. And
I don't know. I don't know that I would do anything differently with my kids. What I would do differently is with me and, you know, with the way that I would lower my anxiety around my kids. I would work on modeling self-care for my kids. You know, any regrets I have around parenting are around me.
Kind of me as well. I the only thing I regret or maybe done differently is like trying not to project as much on my children.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the thing. Like when you see things in your children that are very similar to the way you react to things, or if they're completely opposite, and this is probably the same with you since you have four. But with my two, I have two very different children. Very different in every way. I've got a daughter who's very much like me. So when I see her doing things, it can like touch a part of me that I'm like, you know, because it's just like watching the Pen 15, right? It's just like it's too close to home. It's uncomfortable. But then I have another child who's so different from me, and he is so. Being a three, I always just kind of like, well, you know, my son, he's super smart, totally quirky, kind of socially awkward. Like that's kind of the way I've always described him, and not really in front of him. But I feel like he's taken that on. Like he will describe himself to people as being socially awkward when he meets someone. He's like, well, you know, I'm like really socially awkward. And I really honestly, like, I feel like that was my doing. And like that's a regret for me. Because he's like one of the most lovely, interesting individuals I have ever met. And
he is.
But like the three in me is kind of like whenever, you know, if I feel like something's not the way it should be societally, like the way he's, you know, interacting, I'm quick to be like, oh, well, you know. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense at all?
Oh, I do.
And,
yes, I do.
I wish I would have just been like, chill out to myself. Like, just chill out. This kid is pretty incredible. And so the good news is that he's only in sixth grade, and I've really kind of realized this now. And I champion this kid because he's just so cool. He's kind of become my teacher. I feel like he teaches me so much. I'm about to cry.
That's cool. I love that so much. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, but yeah, it's just I guess I would say for anyone with littles, it's like really allow them to envelop into who they really are and not try to stifle that at all, because they're all so lovely.
Or to put them in a lane or a role or define who they are. Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally. No, I mean, now I realize, yes, I have that regret too. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You're the athletic one.
Yes.
You're the one who loves sports.
Yes.
You're the one who loves theater. You're just like me. You're just like your dad.
Yes.
Like, I wish I'd never said anything like that to any of my kids.
Yep. Yeah.
It's hard not to.
Super hard. I mean, we're human. Yeah. We're human. Hello.
Yeah.
Human.
Totally. Yeah. And we like to group and sort as humans. We like to do that. We like to know where everybody sits.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Groupers and sorters.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all the questions we had from this.
Mm-hmm.
So not that much of a downer.
No, maybe not too much. Well, we'll go pop over into Selfie Podcast Community and start a thread about regret. And we want to hear from you guys. If you feel like you have big regrets, little regrets, if regret is a thing that kind of haunts you, or if you feel like you kind of put it in its place and move on. Thanks for joining us. Continue the self-care conversation with us over at Instagram at Selfie Podcast. And make sure to join our uber supportive community that we love on Facebook by searching for Selfie Podcast Community.
You can also visit our website to check out the resources we've talked about in each episode at selfiepodcast.com. Make sure to subscribe to Selfie on iTunes so that you can catch up with us next week. Special thanks to Shepherd Audio for providing our music. Take care.